Now let's take it to the Ring Talk phone lines. Of course, let's bring in the PhD of boxing, Thomas, who is from the East Coast, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, 154-pound showdown last week, but no definitive winner.
Yeah, it was a really good fight, one of the better ones we've had all year, and it created a controversial buzz. And most people that I've spoken to think that Castaño got the short end of the stick, but I think it was just the score by Nelson Vasquez, which really let gave people a really left a bad taste in people's mouths. I think it was 118-110.
117-110, something like that. But the bottom line is Nelson's been known in the past to have some off-the-wall cards. He just happened to get caught here with his pants down, because that's really, really an indictment of his ability to score a boxing match, because any way you look at it, whether you like Charlo or whether you like Castaño, it was a close fight. But Castaño committed pugilistic suicide. How did he do that? He lost the last three rounds on all three judges' scorecards. I mean, that would be like, that's like losing 25% of the fight right there.
Yeah, you have to close the show, especially if, I mean, he is a champion, but he definitely was the underdog going in and fighting another guy's home state. You got to close the show. It seemed like he gassed out a little bit. I think that in a rematch, he's going to have to train a lot harder, because I think Charlo is going to come motivated, especially, a guy with a lot of pride hearing that, hey, you lost, you got a gift. So he's going to have to be better when the rematch comes. I was happy to hear Charlo say a couple of days later that the rematch is the only fight that he's interested in. And hopefully the politics of boxing did not get in the way of that.
Jermell is the 154-pound Charlo brother. Of course, Jermall is the 160-pound fighter. He's undefeated WBC champion. Jermall is now 34-1-1, 18 wax. Brian Castaño drops to 17, still undefeated, 17-0, two draws with 12 KOs. Scores are 114-113. That was Castaño, 117-111, the aforementioned Mr. Vasquez, and the third judge had it 114-114. Hector thought it was even. He said he could flip a coin after 12 rounds. I thought it was a pretty close fight, but I'm still screaming at the TV, and because I'm watching this guy blow it. See, when guys are blowing it on TV, they're just blowing it. When you lose the last three rounds, in other words, I thought he could have put it, even if he was gassed and he was tired, you should have went out there and killed yourself cardiovascular-wise in other words, carry me out of the ring because I'm tired. Don't carry me out of here because I lost.
I couldn't agree with you more, bro. That's the intangible that athletes have. Who wants it more? He got buzzed a couple of times in the fight, but he threw away nine good rounds of really good work. He fought the way I thought he needed to fight. He took it on the inside against Charlo. He out threw him, and that's how the smaller guy is going to beat a bigger guy. You got to. More volume, and he left it in the judge's hands, and he paid the price, but like you said, it was a draw. There's definitely a big buzz for the rematch, and hopefully it's not in Texas.
Well, and Castaño can make a few more bucks here. I mean, this rematch will mean both these guys will make some money, and I'm all for that. In fact, the draw was the right decision to do because it was a real close fight. I'm not against draws if they're close. I'm against draws if they're like wide, wide scoring fights, and you say to yourself, what's going on? I thought one guy won. They're calling it even, but that obviously hasn't been happening too often. And I'll pose this question to you because somebody posed a question to me this week, and I talked about this on the show in the past. Should there be a 13th round in all championship fights to make sure there aren't any 6-6 draws?
Pedro, I was actually talking to somebody about that minutes after this fight, and I said, logically, yes, because then you figure there's going to be a winner, most times. But business-wise, is it the right thing? Probably not, because then, and as we know, cash dictates not just boxing, but life in general. So theoretically, yes, and if it's some winner-take-all scenario, like let's say, some mass monster trilogy, and if they want to put some special stipulation, that's cool. Okay. But you know, I can't see that happening. You know, there's too much money in rematches.
Back when you were a kid, we'll talk about this rematch. It was Dio Colomé and Eric the Prince Martin fought on ESPN for the ESPN Welterweight Championship. Eric was a junior welterweight, so they figured they'd lure him from San Francisco to go down to Vegas and be the opponent. But he won the first fight, a 12-round decision. He won the first round, no doubt about it. So they fight the second fight, and you have to realize that Johnny Taco, who ran the gym down there in Vegas, he said to me, tell Martin not to come back to town. They're going to rob him. I said, what do you mean they're going to rob him? He goes, I said, are they actually talking about that? He goes, you don't have to talk about it. It's in the cards. And I said to him, Johnny, are you sure? He goes, man, tell Martin. He goes, and if he comes back, make sure he gets 25 or 30 grand. He goes, they want his belt, that little ESPN title he's got on his waist. So they'll do anything to get it to make him pay for it. And I said, okay. So I went to Eric Martin's manager, Bill Mateo, who was a crook. And I said to him, I said, Johnny says they're going to rob you down there in Vegas and you should ask for 25 grand. He goes, I got 7,500 bucks and I'm happy with that. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Eric goes down there, beats Dio Colomé up over 12 rounds. And they say, no, no, it's a draw. So they go to a 13th round after these guys have been sitting in the ring for 3 or 4 minutes. They go to a 13th round. Eric beats them in the 13th round and they gave it to Colomé.
Wow. Yeah, I just looked it up. 1984, that happened.
That was like, I was like, I couldn't believe it. But Johnny said to him, I remember Johnny calling me on, I'll never forget this phone call. It was like a warning. Pedro? Yeah, this is Johnny. Yeah, I know. What's up, buddy? Listen, tell your guy the Prince, he better not come back to town with that title. They're going to take it from him. Blah, blah. He goes, find some other way to do it. Renegotiate with the network. He goes, fight Colomé and somewhere in the East Coast. Maybe get an even break or fight him at home in San Francisco. Do something like that. Try to negotiate a better deal because they're going to take this from him. And they took it from him because when you win a 12-round fight, and then they have you fight a 13th round after like a 5-minute intermission, and you win that 13th round, and they still stick it to you, obviously – the boxing establishment is not in your corner.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, you got to be read the tea leaves. Okay.
Now the WBO has ordered Terrence Crawford to fight Sean Porter. You know, Terrence Crawford told me a few years ago that he wants to be a great fighter. But I told him you have to fight great fighters in order to become a great fighter. Has he yet to fight a great fighter? Is that due to his? Is he just unlucky and there aren't any great fighters around?
I think he's fought really good fighters. He's probably not gotten them at their best. I mean, Amir Khan was once a really, really good fighter. But obviously, when they fought, he was a shell of himself. Gamboa, smaller guy, you know, and really never lived up to the hype. You know, I think Terrence Crawford is a great fighter. You know, is he an all-time great? That's in his hands, and hopefully he gets the opportunities in the future. But you're right, he hasn't fought the great fighter. But then again, who has?
Okay, Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. More with Boxing's PhD, Mr. Palmer, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and the WBC Boxing TV, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check out their interactive website, WBCBoxing.com. She whispered in my ear.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Sparks start to fly, brighter than light.
Come rain or shine, will you be mine? Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If you give me enough money, I'll fight my own mother.
The great Paulie Malignaggi, of course, I made him a star in this show. I told him when he was on this show, like in the 90s, he was the Golden Glove champion of the United States. I said to him, I said, you're going to be a star. I said, in boxing? I said, yeah, probably with a microphone, too. And I meant with a microphone. Of course, he won a fringe title as a world professional. But the bottom line is he has really shined as an announcer. I don't know. Where is Paulie working these days, Socrates?
Well, he fell victim to the cancel culture that exists, and Showtime, I'm assuming he's still under contract, but he's been put on ice indefinitely. And
for what?
Well, for basically having his own opinion, you know, I mean, which is what I thought is the greatness of this country, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody. I mean, you could speak your mind.
Yeah.
You know? But he's working for Sky's, I think it's Sky. I know he does some stuff with an English boxing mm-hmm. podcast, and actually saw him in a TV show called Gravesend. You know, he's trying to get into acting. And he was also doing celebrity boxing commentating a couple of weeks back. So, you know, he's made some good paydays. You know, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame, you know, but he had a good run. And as far as Paulie, you know, we have that mutual, we've known him since the amateurs.
Yeah.
There's so many guys that had so much more talent than Paulie that didn't get half as far as he did.
You know who should get the credit here? Well, Johnny Bosch should get the credit. Remember Johnny Bosch?
Yes. Johnny Bosch should
get the credit. Johnny Bosch picked every opponent that Paulie Malignaggi had, and he dissected each guy.
He was such a great guy in boxing, Johnny Bosch. One of the true characters of the era, you know. He was the internet before the internet. I mean, this guy, he didn't sleep. He was like he was like a vampire. Well, you know, you'd get a call from Johnny Boz all hours of the night. He was a great guy.
He used to call me like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, his time, which was 2 o'clock in the morning, my time, and we talked for an hour and a half, and he'd bring on the boxing historian. I can't remember his name right now, but he'd bring on the boxing historian, and we talked that. And I remember one time he was a bad drinker, and that's what sort of ran him out of New York City. And the reason why he went to Florida, he dried up and went to Florida, and that was really good. He cleaned his act up. But we were in Florida doing a couple of gigs, and, you know, he was easily excitable. I mean, there was nobody as excitable as Johnny, yet he knew everything that was going on in boxing. He could predict stuff before it happened. He was, like, magical, almost like a psychic and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he messed around with some stuff called adrenaline or something like that. It was like a speedy type of drug, okay? And that blew his heart out.
Yeah, yeah. I think the official thing was congenital
heart failure, but it was brought on by something called it ends with zine or reen or something like that. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but he told me one time that he was taking this, and that had a lot to do with him being up till 5 o'clock and, you know, like 8 o'clock our time and that kind of good stuff. So, you know, he didn't sleep much, and he ate hamburgers for like 27 years straight, right?
Something like that. I remember when I first saw him, you know, he is like Hulk Hogan if you cross Hulk Hogan with Mr. T, because he always had all this gold, and he had the Hogan Fu Manchu. He's a great character.
But no, I'm serious on the hamburgers, though. There was, I mean, he would either, I would say to him, what are you doing? I'm going to get some meat. I mean, that's what I'm going to get some meat. And Johnny Boz, he's been on the show. He was featured on the show for many years, but he would, he would eat a hamburger at a certain restaurant every day for like 20 years in New York City. Whatever this place was, he would eat hamburgers, like from breakfast and dinner. He had one in the morning and one at night. That was what he ate for burgers for years. Enough of that. Let's talk about the boxing game as a general. Of course, the heavyweight greed sweepstakes is on. I'm talking about, of course, Anthony Joshua, the man that wanted to get out of the Sky Sports contract, so he comes up with this fight with Oleg Usyk. Of course, it's going to take place soon. And, of course, there's the other heavyweight fight that's going to be rescheduled now for October the 9th. I'm talking about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder going the third time. Of course, Deontay has no excuses going into this one, none whatsoever. I'm just kidding. Hey, it was sort of comical because he goes, my mask, my legs, everything was wrong. I said, but I ain't got no excuses. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So heavyweight greed sweepstakes is on. I think it would be great for the sport. People are going to laugh at me when I say this, but it would show these people that you can't mess around if Oleg Usyk was a knockout Anthony Joshua.
And it can happen. I mean, Anthony Joshua has shown to have a shaky chin. Oleg Usyk is very, very good fighter. He hasn't shown to be that great yet as a heavyweight. You know, he had a tough go around with the British cat. crazy guy.
Yeah, but he's always Chisora. He's always
Chisora.
He's always. But here's what's, you know, it was a transformation for him from 200 pounds to above 200 pounds. And I've always said that there should be a new weight class somewhere around 225 pounds or 235 pounds. Looks like the WBC has got bridge weight going on as far as 224 and a half or less or something like that. But the bottom line is, guys that compete at cruiserweight usually can't compete at heavyweight because the heavyweights are so big now. And Josh was a big, big dude. He's going to weigh about 245, 250 pounds. He stands 6 foot seven. Usyk stands about 6 foot three, I'm told. And he's going to weigh in about 210 pounds. But he is a precision puncher. He throws his right. He throws his punches. I mean, when he targets, he could target Cuddy's chin in the room through the window. You know what I'm saying? He's a precision type of guy. So that's what I think is going to be the key. If he can get some shot to land them right on Anthony Joshua's chin, because Joshua, say what you want about him, but he was knocked out by Andy Ruiz.
Andy Ruiz hit him with the right shot, you know, right over the temple. I think he took Andy Ruiz lightly and it showed. You know what? That's the beauty of the heavyweight division. You know, it can be the most boring it can be the most boring weight division in all of boxing, and at the same time, it's the most exciting because all it takes is one shot, you know, from these big dudes. Usyk, I think, will be better this time around in his second fight as a heavyweight, and like you said, he's a very polished fighter. Tremendous amateur background. He's got Lomachenko's dad in his corner, and he's kind of playing with house money. You know, he's definitely going to be a big underdog, but a live underdog.
Okay, real quick, across the pond today, Joe Joyce is going to take on Mr. Tackham. Is Joe Joyce the real deal? I don't seem to give him all the props that he deserves. Does he deserve props?
I mean, he had a good win. You know, he took out the undefeated guy, the guy that quit, the other Brit. He's a big dude, Joe Joyce. He's fighting Carlos Takam, who's, I think, he's a star boxing product, who has been kind of like a gatekeeper. You know, Takam is, you know, a little stepping stone. So it's an interesting matchup. I think it might be a Fight TV pay per view or something like that. So. The fight fans are going to have to find a good stream somewhere.
Real quick, I'm trying to figure things out. I thought the Olympic fights were going to 5 2-minute rounds, and looks like they're back to 3 3-minute rounds. Is that what's going on over there?
You know, Pedro, you caught me off guard. I don't know. I have to check AIBA's website to see.
Because I'm seeing scores of 30-27. So that imagines they're, you know, we're talking, and there are 3-2 splits. So they're talking five judges. But they're doing three rounds. So, yeah, I guess they're going 10-point. They do the 10-point must system now. They used to do the 20-point must system in amateur boxing, which was really confusing because all you need to do is put another 10 numbers on there for a dumb boxing judge to screw things up.
Yes, you got to keep it simple sometimes.
I couldn't believe it. 20-point must system, and they were going, Anyway. Bottom line is, we have a great weekend. Say hello to the wife. Take care of the kid. Kiss the family. Larry Merchant's voice is getting much better. Of course, he had laryngitis, awesome. And he couldn't talk to us for a while, so he's getting better, and we're looking forward to the comeback of Larry maybe next week.
I can't wait. He's the legend returns. Thank you for having me on, P.
You're the greatest, man. He is the PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And yes, this is his music, his theme, Socrates' theme on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Own an annuity?